Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to read a couple of verses there, maybe three verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to be preaching out of verse number 14 specifically, and then verse number 15 as well. Give you just a moment to turn there, the book of Galatians. And what a great verse of scripture this is we're going to be looking at this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14, the Bible says this, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Let's pray. Lord, as we come today, I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, the good week, the good fellowship and time with our family and friends. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us this morning as we look into the Word of God. Lord, I confess my mind has been going 100 miles an hour this morning, just thinking of this and that and all the things to do and be done. And Lord, it just takes us so much effort just to get in a spirit where we can just worship and focus upon the things of God for a little while. Lord, I pray you'd help me today. I pray you'd help us. We'd just be able to get the thoughts and pull of this world out of our mind for a little while this morning, where the Word of God and the Spirit of God can just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us. Help me. I need your help, Lord. I pray for it. I ask you to take the message today and use it to speak to our hearts. Don't let the devil interfere in any way whatsoever. And I pray, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, that this great truth would sink down deep into our lives and change our way that we think about the gospel, the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you'd prepare hearts and minds, help us as only you can. And most of all, Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, Lord, I pray you'd use the message. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would convict them and show them their great need of salvation. Lord, we pray for that. We ask for it today in Jesus' name, that you just have your way, and amen. All right, let's read verse number 14 one more time. We'll get started this morning. Verse number 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What an interesting statement that is by the Apostle Paul. Of all the things that he could glory in, he says that he would glory in nothing, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a great many things that he could glory in, that he could brag about, that he could I'm a little leery of using the phrase, but be proud of and brag about. Well, he had a lot of things in his life that he could brag about, that he could glory in. Well, he could glory in his conversion, I guess, if he wanted to. I mean, I love to hear somebody's testimony about how they got saved, but who among us could compare to the conversion experience of the Apostle Paul? I mean, the Lord appeared to him, a great light shone out of heaven, a voice spoke to him. The Lord Jesus came to him. He got saved on the road to Damascus, and he was going to persecute Christians. Boy, what a testimony that he had. And he did rejoice in his testimony, and he shared his testimony from time to time, but he said, "The only thing I'm going to glory in is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." He could have gloried in his calling to be an apostle, how the Lord spoke to him. He said that he was one that was born out of due time. He's the only one of the apostles that did not follow physically in the steps of the Lord Jesus. He was not picked out by the seashore as Peter and the rest of them there, but he was after. He came along after, and the Lord chose him to be a special apostle to the Gentiles. He could glory in that. He could brag about that. We could talk about his credentials this morning as a man and as a Christian as well. He was a Jew. Now, we're just Gentiles. In all of our testimony that we might have or that we do have, we're still just Gentiles saved by the grace of God. But you know, it's a special thing to hear a Jew that's saved, that's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That just interests me. I think that's very special. I mean, that's God's chosen people. And we know that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the Gentiles be come in. But here's a saved Jew. And he could brag about that. He could glory about that. If you read over in Acts chapter number 22, if you apply for a job and you turn in a resume, can you imagine the resume of the Apostle Paul? If you could read about all of his accomplishments and his testimony and his life, why, he talks about being raised up at the feet of one Gamaliel, a rabbi, I guess, a religious teacher, and boy, he was educated, he was smart. He knew more of the Bible before he got saved than most people learn in their whole lifetime. I mean, he knew that Old Testament law. He was a Roman citizen. As a Christian, none hardly can compare to the life credentials of the Lord Jesus. Look what he said in verse number 17 here in Galatians chapter 6. He said, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Here's a man not only preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called of God, used of God, but he actually had marks in his body for the Lord Jesus, where he'd been tortured, where he'd been persecuted, all of these things. But instead of saying anything about that, the only thing that Paul says that he's going to glory in, and what that means again is to be able to boast about or brag about, he says, is the cross. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." And I want to preach today on the subject just simply this: the glory of the cross. The glory of the cross. That the Apostle Paul would make this statement in the Word of God. The only thing that he is going to glory in was the cross. It says there, "save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then verse number 15, he said this: "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Do you know, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter this morning who you are. A lot of people place a lot of emphasis on who they are. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, you must not know who I am"? Well, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the president. It doesn't matter if you're a pauper. It doesn't matter if you're rich, or it does not matter if you're poor. It does not matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter how much power you may have or not have in this life. It does not matter who you are, what you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. But as believers today, if you are a new creature, we ought to be like the Apostle Paul and see this truth of the glory of the cross. Now I want to point out some things today, and I hope it'll be a blessing. First of all, I want to say why we should glory in the cross, or concerning the glory of the cross. Number one, it reveals the love of God. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ reveals the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein, the Bible said, was manifested the love of God, that we might live through Him. People think out here in the world today, a lot of people think, well, God doesn't love me. You ever heard anybody say anything like that? God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care what's going on in my life. That is a lie from the devil. God loves man so much that He gave. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," is what the Bible says. You know, it wasn't enough that God made a beautiful world for us to live in, and it is a beautiful world. We have a beautiful world, and God has put in the world everything that we need to be blessed and make it in this world. God gave the sun to give us warmth. God gave the seasons that the fruit and the food would grow in. God gave the rain. God gave family. God gave all of these blessings to us. Boy, we ought to thank Him for them today, should we? John 1:17 said this. It said, "For every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good and perfect thing come from God. That in and of itself ought to cause us to see today the great love that God has towards mankind. But God went so much farther than just giving creation and food and blessings and beauty and all of these things we love and enjoy and appreciate. 1 John 4:10 said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That shows us today the great love of God's in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We wouldn't know the great love of God if it wasn't for Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. And we need to never forget this morning that it wasn't His coming that saves us, but His going to the cross of Calvary. That's why we can be saved today, because Jesus Christ went to Calvary, shed His precious blood. Here we are coming up on Christmas. Thank the Lord. I like it. I enjoy Thanksgiving. And I enjoy Christmas. I thought about today wearing a red shirt, but I said, no, I'll wait till next week. I mean, that's how we are. We're getting ready for Christmas. We think about what it means as the children of God. And if you've not heard it already, you're going to hear Luke chapter number 11, chapter 2 and verse number 11. "And the angels made an announcement on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And they said in Luke 2 and 11, 'For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.'" You know the best part about that news? A Savior. "Friend, you was born this night in the city of David. A Savior." That's the good news, that a Savior came into this world. Oh, it's good that God was manifested in the flesh. But if He didn't come and go to the cross, it wouldn't help us whatsoever. Jesus had to come and go to the cross and die there. And so Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It reveals the love of God. Second of all, it removes all doubt concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I could give you a month's worth of preaching right here. It removes all doubt concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it says in this verse, "saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What about Him? What's so special? What's so great about Him? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. It removes all doubt concerning prophecy. We could take a month, go back to the Old Testament scriptures, and look at what they say about the coming Messiah. I was reading this morning about Isaiah chapter number 53, where it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary. Brother Freed talked about some of the books that the Jews, they look and they read in the writings of the rabbis, and how over the years they've removed, of all the scriptures you could remove out of the Old Testament, they've removed Isaiah chapter number 53. What's so dangerous about that? Well, I'll tell you this morning, if you study Isaiah chapter number 53, you cannot help but see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That who was it talking about? Who is it there in Isaiah 53? It's Jesus. It's that He came. It's by His stripes that we're healed. And if you want to see concerning prophecy, look at Isaiah chapter number 53. Look at Psalms chapter number 22 and just read over there. The Bible says over there, I may see all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. It said in Psalms chapter number 22, it said, they parted my garments. Who is that? That's Jesus at Calvary. That's Jesus upon the cross. When we see, it removes all doubt concerning prophecy. It removes all doubt concerning His person. I love to think about over there in Matthew chapter number 11, John the Baptist, he was in prison. Now, you talk about getting at a low point in your life. I'd say if you got down there in the jail, that'd be a pretty low point. And John the Baptist, whom the Lord Jesus said about him and his ministry, he said, of them born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now, I'm not throwing off on John, but every one of us, we've got at a low point in our life before. We've wondered about the Lord and what He's doing in our life before. And old John got to one of them low points in his life, and he sent his disciples to the Lord Jesus. And he said, I want you to ask him a question. Say, are you the one we're looking for, or should we look for another? Are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus sent back this reply in verse number 5. He said, you go tell John. That doesn't say that in the Bible. But here's the reply to John. Jesus said, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He said, you go remind John about the things that have been going on since I come upon the scene. And old John, when he got the message there in prison, I believe the faith was kindled in his heart once again. And he said, that's right. Boy, that's him. That's the one I was preaching about. That's the one I was telling people about. That's the one when I looked down the road and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's him. That's him. He's the one. He's the one I've seen. But it was only in going to the cross that he could take away the sins of the world. And so it removes all doubt concerning prophecy. And it removes all doubt concerning his person. And it removes all doubt concerning his purpose. Why did Jesus come anyway? A lot of people don't really understand, even today, why Jesus Christ came. Some think that He came to be a good example. Now, He's a good example. You'll never find a better example than the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not why He came. Some think that He came to be a great teacher. A lot of religious people out here in the world, they will acknowledge, oh, Jesus, He is a great teacher. He's a great moral example. Some will say about the Lord Jesus, well, there's no doubt about Him that He is a great prophet. That He's one of the prophets that God sent into the world. And He's one of them, no doubt about that. But you know what Jesus said about why He came? He said in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, after He had went down there and revealed Himself to Zacchaeus up in that tree, where He said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today salvation's come to your house. He said in Luke 19:10, He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come anyway? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. How's He going to do that, preacher? He had to go to the cross. had to go to the cross. It removes all doubt concerning prophecy, concerning His person, concerning His purpose, and concerning His passion as well. The Lord Jesus was passionate about lost souls. He was passionate about looking out there and seeing the multitudes, and He was moved and He had compassion upon them as sheep having not a shepherd, is what the Word of God says. Jesus said in John chapter number 15 and verse number 10, you want to know how passionate He was about what He believed in? He said this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Removes all doubt concerning why He came, who He came for, how serious was He about what He was doing. He was so serious about His mission that He went to the cross and died there for our sins so that we could be saved. It removes all doubt today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But number three, and I really like this, why should we glory in the cross? What's the big deal about bragging on the cross? Why is it that Paul said he wasn't going to glory in anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because the cross reconciles the sinner. Reconciles the sinner. Now, reconciliation is a wonderful thing for you and I today. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Notice there He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Reconciliation restores favor and friendship to those who were enemies one to another. And that describes our relationship with the Lord before you get saved by the grace of God. You see, without Calvary in our lives, we're just enemies of God. Without reconciliation, without our friendship, our fellowship being restored with the Lord Jesus Christ, without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no reconciliation. There is no redemption. There is no justification of anybody without Calvary. You know what justification is? You read about that in the Bible. It's a legal term. And it means that which God declares us being as if we'd never sinned before. Justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. If it wasn't for that, you couldn't be saved. If it wasn't for that, there's no hope. There's no heaven. There's no eternal life. There's no peace. There's no being in the presence of God. Without it, there's nothing. No forgiveness. No redemption. We die enemies of God. And we go to hell. And we never, ever have an opportunity to be saved again. But because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, there's an opportunity for the sinner to be reconciled unto God. The manger did not help us. Do you know that? Here we are at Christmas. And we've got, boy, this is a good illustration. I didn't plan it. But what do we think about at Christmas? We think about the baby in the manger. We think about the wise men. We think about Mary and Joseph. We think about being born in a manger. And we think about the angels coming and singing. And all of these things that we think about at Christmas. But the manger did not help us. As far as being enemies of God. Didn't do one thing for you and I today. Was manifested in the flesh and come and was born in a manger. It didn't do anything for you today that one of the first miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ was to heal the nobleman's son. You know, I preached on that just a few Sundays ago. That's a great message from the Word of God. Boy, how that ought to increase our faith. But Jesus healing the nobleman's son didn't do a thing for you spiritually. It didn't do anything for you that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to calm the storms out on the sea. That He proved that He's a creator and that He was able to control the elements. And the storm was upon the sea. And all he did was say, peace be still, and there's a great calm upon the sea. Boy, he's the creator. He has all power. It's all given unto him. It didn't do anything for you that the Lord Jesus was able to take a little boy's lunch and feed multitudes. Thousands and thousands of people that the Lord Jesus could feed just because of his great power that he had over nature. But the one thing that did what we needed to be done for us is that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died there according to the scriptures and shed his precious blood. And the Bible said in Matthew 27 and 51, when the Lord Jesus Christ took his last breath upon the cross and yielded his spirit unto God, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top down to the bottom, and there was a way made for you and I that we could be reconciled to God. All of the other things, thank God for it. But without the cross, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's no reconciliation of the sinner unto God. All the other things apart from the cross wouldn't have saved us. Wouldn't have given us a relationship, a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. But boy, when he gave up the ghost upon the cross, and that veil in the temple, you see, they couldn't go. They couldn't go into the holy place. They were forbidden. Had they went in the holy place except but one time a year on the Day of Atonement, they'd have been struck dead. They didn't go. When Jesus died upon the cross, he didn't push the veil aside. He ripped the veil in two, showing us that the Lord Jesus had made a way to go to God. And it wasn't by a lamb with a little L. It wasn't by the little creature in the barnyard, but it was by the Lamb, capital L-A-M-B, the Lamb of God. It reconciles the sinner. That's why Paul said, in spite of all of my credentials, in spite of all of the things that I've got going for me, I'm just going to glory in the cross. Because I'd have never... Paul, being a good Jew, being a religious person, trying to keep the law, he knew he couldn't get to God apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I'm just going to glory in the cross. I'm going to brag about the cross of the Lord Jesus. It reconciles the sinner. Number four, it removes the power of the world. Now look here in verse number 14, what the Word of God is saying. He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. He said, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Boy, if we could really get this morning, it'd help you in your Christian life. Look what Paul said back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's sort of along the same lines. And it's just a couple of pages back in your Bible. We're in the same book. But Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross removes from your life the power that the world one time had upon you. Now, don't look at me like that's a sad thing. That's a good thing. The reason why a lot of Christians are sad is because they've not realized that God has delivered them from the power of this world. They're still trying to be friends with this world. They're still trying to get along with this world that hates God and hated the Lord Jesus and put him on the cross and was glad to see him there and was even gladder when they put him in the tomb. Thank God the third day he come up out of that grave. There's power over there's victory over the power that the world has upon us. It's not a tragic thing that we've been delivered from the power of this present evil world. by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Paul said in the last part of verse number 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If you're really saved by the grace of God, you may think you love the world. You may desire and go after the things of this world, but I've got news for you today. The world doesn't want you. The world doesn't want you. Now, the world will take you like it took the prodigal son. The world took the prodigal son and they took everything that he had, didn't they? Until all of his substance was spent. They took him. They took him and they spent his money. They took him and they took all that he had. But when it was all over and done, the prodigal son didn't have a friend in this world. The world will take you like that. The world will take you. And the world will take everything you've got. But the world really doesn't want you. If you're really a child of God, and if you're really saved by the grace of God, I mean you are born again, you're a child of God, and you are saved by the grace of God, you will never be able to really, really enjoy this world like you did before you got saved. You may try everything that's under the sun, but when it comes down to being over and done with, you'll be like Solomon over in the book of Ecclesiastes. You'll say, vanity of vanities, this world is empty and vain. How come it's like that? Because of the cross. Because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe in divorce this morning except that the Christian ought to get a divorce from the world. That's the kind of divorce I believe in. The Christian, the child of God, ought to get a divorce from the world. And you know what? Because of Calvary, we can. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, he said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Say, but preacher, we got to live in this world, and we do. But you know, the only way you're going to have influence in this world, the only way you're going to be able to enjoy anything in this life is as a separated child of God, your life under the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get that type of attitude in your life, then God can use you in this world. But he can't use you straddling the fence along in this life, being a little bit worldly, being a little bit religious, being a little bit for God, being a little bit for the world. You must come out and be separate in this world and get a divorce from what the world cares about you as a child of God. It ought to be like the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And you get to that place in your life and really want to live and do something for God, then God will take you and God will use you. But this muddling through, being a little bit, there's no such thing being a little bit saved. But a lot of people act like that's about all they've got. Just a little bit, just enough, they want enough just to go to heaven. But I'm telling you, there's so much more in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, this world to whom, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world doesn't want you, and you shouldn't want the world. It's not going to satisfy you, but the Lord Jesus will. He'll not only satisfy you, he'll take and use you and do something and give you joy and give you peace in this life and victory over sin. The cross removes the power of the world, number four. Number five, the cross. Why glory in the cross? Because it's the reason for every blessing. The cross is the reason for every blessing that you have. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he said, he that spared not his own son, that's the cross. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You got any blessings in your life? It's because of Calvary. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. You got anything to be thankful over the last week? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study in the Old Testament about Israel over there. Boy, they were in bad shape. They were down in Egypt. They were Pharaoh's bondmen. They had taskmasters over them. They had a very bleak outlook on life. But God had a remedy for their sad situation. And He sent Moses down there. And He said, Moses, everything that I'm going to do is going to center around a little lamb. That little lamb made all the difference. Hey, you say, what about the rod and what about the parting of the Red Sea? All of those things are great. But when they went out of Egypt and God wanted to remind them of all them blessings and going into Canaan land, they didn't celebrate the rod and they didn't celebrate the Red Sea. Hey, they celebrated the Passover lamb. And they said, every year we're going to get together and remember what God done through us through the blood. He delivered us and redeemed us because of the blood of the Lamb. And if you got any blessings in your life today, it's because of the blood of the Lamb. You remember Abraham over there? All his blessings, all that God had promised him in this life and the life to come had to do with that lad, that boy, Isaac, who's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, did it not? It's all wrapped up in Him. All them promises. God came to Abraham out on the fields and He said, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you generations as the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. And Abraham later, he had a problem. He didn't have any children. But God said, I'm going to give you a son. Do you know the phrase only begotten is only 6 times in the Bible? 5 times is in the New Testament. It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or all times is in the New Testament. But 1 time is referring back to Isaac and his only begotten son. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Stephen is telling this morning back going around at Thanksgiving and what you're thankful for. We is going over to Mom's on Thanksgiving morning and you know, we had that long drive from our house over to Mountain City. Takes about 30 minutes to get over there. And so I come up with a little game and we was playing going over there and I said, somebody pick a letter and you say your letter and whatever letter it is, you got to say something you're thankful for that's same as that letter. B, I'm thankful for my blessings. I'm thankful and along like that. And somebody said the letter J. You know what I'm thankful for? Jesus. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. In fact, all of the things that you can be thankful for from A to Z without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just temporary and it'll soon pass away. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, blessings here, blessings there, hope here, hope for tomorrow. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but because of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this, it's going to be all right. Every blessing you've got is because of the cross. So Paul said, I'm not going to glory. I'm not going to brag about anything else save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reason for every blessing. And last of all this morning, number 6, the cross. What's so great about it? It's the remedy for a fallen race. The cross is the remedy for a fallen race. Peter's preaching over there, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Boy, I like what he said. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, the world's in a mess, isn't it? I was watching the news the other day and they was talking about these roving gangs of young people all over our country. They've got a new game they're playing. And in order to get points in a gang, I think it is, they've got something called the knockout game. game. Have you heard about that? And mostly in these big cities and some smaller, I guess, but what the way they play that game, they'll just be walking down the street and some unknown person will be coming and the young person will try to knock them out with one punch. And if they can knock out that stranger with one punch, they get so many points. Isn't that an ungodly thing to be going on? And there was this legislator, congressman, senator on there. I can't remember which one it was. But they was talking about, now, we're going to pass a law, and it's going to be real strict, and it's going to be tried. They're going to be tried as an adult. And anybody that's caught doing anything like this, they're going to get a longer, stiffer, stricter prison term. And boy, they's really going to come down hard on these young people doing these ungodly crimes. And I thought to myself as I was watching that, I thought, you know what they really need? You know what somebody like that needs? They need Jesus Christ. Oh, you can put them in prison for 50 years, but if they don't have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, same sinner! But boy, if they could meet the Lord, what a difference that'd make. It's a remedy for a sin-cursed world. It's a remedy for a fallen race. They say today that one of the, maybe even number one, Brother Bill might know, number one cause of death among young people, is it suicide or car? Accidents. But suicide's way up there. What's wrong that even young people don't want to go on with life, killing themselves? Hey, you know what they need? They need the Lord Jesus. Well, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never wonder if anybody loves you or not. You'll never wonder, is anybody there for me? Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter where you get in this life and how dark it may be, if you'll know that the Lord Jesus knows you and you know Him and He loves you more than so much that He went to Calvary, you'll never be lonely. You'll never be to the point of no hope. What do these people need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation is just about morally bankrupt. There's so much sin and wickedness going on. What does our nation need? Needs the Lord. Needs to be pointed to the Christ of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures and rose again the third day so that you and I could be saved. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who else needs the Lord Jesus Christ? Good people. Moral people. People who try to live right and do right and maybe even go to church and try to serve others and do good things. Do you know there's a lot of people in this world that as we would judge it, we'd say they're a good person. Good people need to be saved too. How sad would it be to go through this life and try all your life to be a good person and die and go to a devil's hell with a bunch of people that hate God, hated God here. How sad. Good people need the Lord. Moral people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came to the Lord. He's a good person. He is trying to keep the law. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you know what? You need to be born again. Look at verse number 15, what the Bible said. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. Nicodemus, that's you. You're a Jew. Nor uncircumcision. That's old Gentile out here. But a new creature. You know what matters with God? Being a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you been made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? And by His grace, then it's because of Calvary. And that's why when we think about glorying in anything, what a glory in the cross. Because without the cross, there's no new creature. There's no new you. There's no new heaven and new earth. There's no new anything apart from Calvary. And so Paul, and you need to understand this as I close. He wasn't saying this is the only thing I'm ever going to preach on. Because Paul dealt with all kinds of things. He dealt with civil government in Romans 13. And he dealt with marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And he dealt with the Lord's Supper. And he dealt with missions and all kinds of things. But what Paul was saying, of all the things I could glory in, this is the only thing that makes all the other things worth even caring about. I'm just going to glory in the cross. Thank the Lord Jesus what He did for us upon Calvary. Boy, it ought to thrill our hearts today. Do you know the Lord? Are you a new creature? Have you been born again? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.